Tuesday, October 22nd, was a day like so many out of my own past, a campaign day, but not ours, thank heavens. I left a call for 7:15, and while I had coffee, watched the successful, magnificent end of the Apollo flight. The crew safely down in the Atlantic Ocean. Lyndon was on the phone to the Situation Room. He would call them as soon as he could. Jean-Louis came to give me a comb out. He is leaving for Paris and then San Francisco next week. There are goodbyes on every hand, but he is beating me to it. He's been so gay and funny, has made my hair look vastly more stylish. A nice part of these years here. I left the White House about 8:15 with Simone. Liz still does not feel like going. She's wobbly. We beat Muriel to the plane, lingered a few minutes, and went up together. To my dismay, I saw that there were only two newspaper people, Dorothy McArdle and a life person. Most of the others were Humphrey Staff and Mrs. Wilbur Cohen and Elva O'Brien. Perhaps she comes along to tell her husband how everything is going. On the way down, I read my speech over several times and had a delightful talk with Mrs. Cohen and succumbed to eating breakfast. I am gaining. It is a fight, and I am losing. Muriel looked very pretty, but weary. She wrote out in longhand her speech on the way down and conferred with Betty South most of the way, probably practicing it. I had made a good many calls about this trip, stirring up friends to buy tickets, inviting some who couldn't possibly afford a ticket, like Joel Malachek and Betty Weinheimer and Jesse Hunter, and asking Weezy Deep to invite Helen Fally and Cecilia Marshall. Rain had been predicted, and so I was relieved when we pulled up to the airport about 11:30 to slightly overcast skies, but no rain. And there were gay bands, costumed entertainers, and a pretty sizable crowd, and a welcoming committee headed by Nellie Connolly, Opal Yarbrough, Mayor and Mrs. Aiken, Lieutenant Governor To-Be, and Mrs. Ben Barnes, Emma Long, the Roy Barreras, Liz's aunt, Mrs. Robertson from Salado. I had a two-way proprietary feeling about bringing Muriel, my friend, to Austin, my hometown. The mood was merry, noisy, friendly. I heaved a sigh of relief, took Muriel's arm, and forward we charged, grasping two darling little nosegays that Nellie had given us in lieu of yellow roses. Cactus was there as master of ceremonies, and Jake as general director of what everybody should do next, although frequently he got diverted by his own needs. We accepted a cheese and a coffee cake from a Swedish delegation, watched the little Czech girls from Praha do a dance in their costumes. Muriel is great with children. Then listened to a barbershop quartet, ladies, sing a couple of lively numbers, and then the Camp Gary Job Corps boys brought tears to my eyes with God Bless America. And of course there was a German umpa band, the Frischauf Five. Cactus led us to the microphone and introduced me, and I introduced Muriel, just a sentence or two each, combating some departing planes, and then to the fence. This little ritual never loses its fascination for me. I try to put a lot into it and bring to them the same warmth and interest they bring to me. I must say, this time, this year, there is a difference, a most comfortable difference. I am so glad we are not the candidate. And I was also very glad that our home folks were turning out for Muriel. We piled into cars and drove to the Terrace Motor Hotel, hugged Lucy at the door, went in for a few minutes' rest. Nellie had already beaten us there, and congratulated her on being a grandmother. Sharon had had a baby girl, Amy, just the day before. And then it was time to go in to the luncheon. The hall was crowded. Somebody told me there were 1,297 people in a hall that seated 1,300. Muriel and I walked in, past a sea of familiar faces, and took our seats at the head table. Well, miraculously, Opal Yarbrough was on Muriel's right, and Nellie Connolly was on my left, and the wife of the new governor, Mrs. Preston Smith, Mavis Heath and Mrs. Harry Aiken, and Mrs. Roland Boyd, and Liz Odom, who'd been chairman of the whole thing, and Mrs. Bob Strauss, and our old friend, the Reverend John Barclay, gave the invocation. I whispered to Muriel that he had given a prayer for the inaugural in 65. Cactus was master of ceremonies. Lunch was delicious and hearty, and also fast. In fact, the dessert was snatched away from us before I'd had a bite. Funny how hungry I always am at these things. There was a constant crowd of autograph seekers, and through the room I could see many old friends. Mrs. Ed Cape, Georgia Lassinger, Mrs. Sam Four. It was a good facsimile of many, many days that had gone before, and I was relishing it, and what's more, in a quite different way than if Lyndon had been the principal. After dessert, I made my brief, affectionate introduction of Muriel with a few substantive points about her candidate and mine, and then Muriel spoke from the words she had written out on the way down on the plane. Simply, warmly, easily, she establishes a good rapport between herself and her audiences. And she looked lovely. I think she has been a great plus every step of this way. She is a woman's woman with a dash of ginger that I think must appeal to the men. And then the style show, Alexis, We Love You, began. Scooter Miller was one of the commentators, and there were the stars I had seen before, beginning with Jane Freeman, the first volunteer, and Bess as Dolly Madison, and Jane Wirtz as Mrs. Oscar Underwood in a dress of the 20s. She was absolutely the star of the show. And of course, some of our local political wives had been used, Beryl Pickle, Mrs. Ben Barnes, and Mrs. Roy Barrera, the accent is now on ethnic groups, and Mrs. Lloyd Benson, far too pretty, played Eleanor Roosevelt, a good actress, but her beauty got between me and the part. And then, at the end, the two brides of the Johnson administration, Lucy, played with verve and warmth by Helene, and Linda, played with dignity and a bit too much coolness by Carolyn Kellum Curtis. How did she ever get into that size 8 costume? And the volunteers of 1968, gathering together as it had in Washington, all the strains of our population, Mrs. Anderson for the Negroes, Mrs. Belager, she's a Lebanese, the sweetheart of Texas with an unpronounceable name, something like Bresky Wicks, I guess it's Polish, and Mrs. Taniguchi for the Orientals, and all the rest of us Anglos. And finally, the very end, or so it had been in Washington, statuesque and beautiful Marion Watson in the gown that she would wear to the inaugural ball of 1969. And I was just about to clap and rise and compliment ourselves on a successful luncheon when there was a ruffle of drums and out walked the youngest volunteer of 1968 and a possible presidential candidate of the year 2001, Patrick Lyndon Nugent, in a shirt made from a Humphrey scarf, waving a flag, walking sturdily the full length of the platform and hamming it up, while the audience, many of whom were grandmothers, cheered lustily. And Lucy walked along, sometimes behind him, sometimes holding his hand, beaming with pride. On the way out, I introduced Helen and Cecile to Muriel and my old friend Betty Long, and hugged and thanked Liz. I'm sure there were so many people all over that room that I would have spent hours with, but we drove away quickly to catch our plane, going out of our way only long enough to go by the LBJ Library site, where the great cement supports are rising high in the air. It's really going to dominate the landscape. And at 3:30, Bess and Simone and Marcia and Lenora and Bob Knudsen and I were aboard. I regretting as we rode along that I hadn't taken a few more minutes to drive by the downtown site, the old post office on West 6th, that I hear has been named for me and will have a tiny vest pocket park alongside. As we dropped into the Dallas airfield, we all saw, simultaneously, some signs that said, Welcome, Hubie, and then a cluster of people, and as the plane pulled to a halt, a platform on which there were figures gesturing, and Bess reacted first and said, That's Hubert Humphrey. It's an airport rally. Let's go over. Everybody said almost at once, All right, let's. The plane came to a halt, and there at the foot of the ramp was none other than my former vice president, in charge